want to get into back into our vision for the year. So Jacinda touched on it and notices. So it's kingdom outside the church. And so if you remember from our Vision Sunday, this was what it was, but I felt like we haven't hit it enough, so I need to bring it back in today just to remind you what we're trying to look at doing in this season. Has been a wee bit messy, I apologize. We finished our new values series, that was broken up. We did the identity series, which I really enjoyed preaching. It was funny, when I preached it was quite quiet out here. But actually, the feedback I got back later was quite good. So hopefully you got something out of that. Last Sunday night, we started the, I want to call it the guy who brings sizzlers to a barbecue but then eats your steak series. But it's too long, so I'm just going to call it the character series. But you know that guy. Who is it? You know that one. They turn up with one packet of sizzlers and then they're first to the barbecue and they grab all the steak. No? I know someone like that, eh? I wanted to call it that, but it's just a wee bit long, so I'm just going to call it the character series. We're looking at the fruits of the Spirit. So we started with joy last Sunday. We do have to finish our identity. There's one more identity, and then we're going to carry on with the character series. Before we do that, I want to hit on kingdom outside of the church, our vision for the season for this year again. Can I go into that? Matthew 6, if you have a Bible. If not, it will magically appear on the screen behind me. Now, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Then Jesus goes on about the birds, and he talks about the birds and all their foods there, and they've got a nest in the tree. And then he talks about the lilies in the field, and he said even Solomon in all his glory didn't look as good as these lilies in the field. And then he went on about the straw, about the grass here, it's one day, and next it's used to burn for fire or whatever it is. And then he goes back into this again, and he repeats himself in verse 31. Therefore, do not, come on, therefore do not, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need and all these things. And this is building up to him. So he's telling you what not to worry about. And then a couple of verses later, he tells you what you should seek after. So he's saying, don't worry about all these things in your life. I know you need all them. But this is what should be the most important thing in your life. More important than your clothes that you're wearing. He says this is Jesus, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So the season we're in, we're talking about kingdom outside of church. What we're trying to do is we're trying to become a church that doesn't focus on getting people to heaven, because that's what's done when salvation. It's good, you know what I mean, that's salvation. But after you become a Christian, we're not trying to preach about how to be good enough to get to heaven. Tick these boxes to get to heaven. Well, if you tithe and pray and that, you'll be good enough to get to heaven. What we're trying to say that once you understand that principle of salvation, the next step is trying to get heaven to earth. And I think for years in many churches, this hasn't been preached enough. And it actually becomes a mindset shift for us that we should not worry about what we're eating. We should not worry about the clothes we're wearing. What we should be worried about, what should be first in our priority is, God, how do I bring a bit more of heaven to earth today? How do I influence what? How do I see what's going on in heaven? And how do I bring it down here? What is in heaven? Well, that's a good point. I've got to spend more time with God. What's the difference between heaven and earth? Well, man, there's so much sickness on the earth at the moment. Well, that's not in heaven. How do I influence that? While there's poverty going on at the moment, how do I influence that? While there's broken people, hurting people, needing people, there's so much going on. Well, as a Christian, I've been given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So I can, if I believe my Bible, I can make a difference wherever I am. And it might not be the big thing. You might not get into Parliament and change all these laws and make us a moral country again. It might be just you reaching out to your neighbor and showing them love. And I tell you what, love is found in heaven. So we should be bringing more love to earth. And so we're in this season as a church where we do things well inside church, don't we? But it's saying, how do we get it out? How do I get you guys and kick you outside of the church? Well, kick you inside so you go outside. I wouldn't kick you outside church. That would just be rude of me, Sue. But how do I kick you out of church? So where you take what you know and you actually take it into where you go. Melissa, that's a thing. That's good. I like that. I can't even remember it was that clever. How do you take what you know, take what you know and take it to where you go? Wow, come on. That's just, well, I like this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, I want to talk to you on kingdom of God, but Jesus also says, seek first God's righteousness. Now, he's not saying, seek first the kingdom of God and everyone else, get yourself righteous, get yourself holy. He's not saying that's the most important thing. He's saying, seek first God's righteousness. See, we've got to have a mind shift. This is not my message today. This will be a message another day. But his righteousness, you've got to understand that God is good. Righteous means this: morally good, right, or fair. So Jesus is saying, I want you to try and bring heaven to earth, but understand that God is morally good, right, and fair. So we learn those two things as we go along. The more you understand God, the more you understand his nature and his heart, the more you can bring kingdom to earth. Sound good? So we're going to focus on the kingdom of God at this stage. The problem is, it says, and all these things will be added to you. Often we're looking for the all these things first. Sometimes we're looking for the all these things to let us know that God loves us. God, if you love me at the moment, you'd just answer this prayer and then I would know I would seek your kingdom. God, if you took care of all my financial needs at the moment, then I would know and then I'd better seek you more. But God says, no, seek me first and I'll take care of all your needs. Some of us have been waiting for prayers at the moment and the answer is seek the kingdom first and the answers will come. I have to say that again, because this is what Scripture says to me. If you seek first the kingdom of heaven, everything else is added to you. And too many Christians nowadays aren't seeking first the kingdom of God, but wanting all the other things. And God says, well, you have it out of order. I want to bless you. I want to come through for you there. But my word says to seek the kingdom first. Bring heaven to earth first, and you'll see a lot of your prayers getting answered. I made the foolish mistake yesterday of walking into the supermarket and seeing the line of people lining up to buy Lotto, 34 million. So walking in, wow. And I started that journey. It was only $8 or $10 or whatever. Let's say $8. But imagine if I won 34 million, God, I would give back to you so much more. At least a tithe, that's 3.4 million. That'd be awesome. But God, you'd get a lot more than that. I could go, I wouldn't have to work, get a draw a wage from the church. That means there'd be more money coming into the church. You know how you start, I don't know if you start thinking like that, but I'm starting thinking like this. And God said to me as I'm walking around, he goes, you're seeking first all the other things. He said, if you were really seeking my kingdom first, ask me, what do you want to spend that $8 on? Oh, you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, I get it. It was only $8. And you know what? Surprise, God might say, with leftover money, go buy that $8. I remember in Gisborne once, someone won big on the Lotto and the church did get blessed. So, you know, I'm not advertising gambling, Josh Street. Did not. I just want to see where the sinners were in the church.
We'll take for that. Don't try and justify yourself. But God was saying, look, if you're that person who spends $8 a week on lotto, he's saying, no, ask me. You're trying to seek all the other things to get happiness in your life, but happiness and fruitfulness will come when you seek first the kingdom, because then I add all the other things. And I was looking at my life going, wow, God, wouldn't it be great if I had 34 mil? And God said, when have you gone without? When have I ever left you without, Damien? We're at a point now when Aria, this term, she's involved in four things. She's doing speech and drama. She's doing ballet. She heard that they needed someone else, for another female for a touch team. Otherwise, they couldn't put a team in. She put her name in. Ezekiel goes to athletics. First night at athletics, she gets dressed. We come out. We're like, Aria, you can't do another thing. But somehow she is. But that all costs money. And God's saying, when have I ever let you down? When have I ever failed to provide for you, Damien? It might have been oat baked beans, but they were baked beans. And God said, so often we're trying to seek the other things first when God says, you seek my kingdom first. What is in heaven, bring it to earth. And I promise you, this is God's promise, I will take care of your other needs. Sound good? I feel it is the season for us to be more practical then, more hands-on, more productive in seeking the kingdom. You can get a lot of discipling and equipping, the second part of our vision. But you can get to a point where you get too much discipling and too much equipping and you never take it out and you know everything but you never do anything. And so you get to be a fat Christian. You just get more and more of, oh, more for me, more understanding. But it's never about just for you. Being a Christian is what you can learn to go and help or pass on to someone else. So I think, again, we're in this season as a church where we're going to take what we have. God's given you gifts. He's given you talent. And do you know what? You might not believe me, but he's given you the time to go out and extend his kingdom. Oh, but I'm busy. I've got a young family. I've got four children. I'm on the board at school. My wife's out every other night that I'm not out. I don't have time. God said, don't worry. I'll make some time. There is time to go out and extend the kingdom. It should be the first thing on our radar. If you don't have time, you might have to cut some other things that aren't extending the kingdom. Because God does say this, hang on, you might not have heard this before. I'll find it. Here, Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom. Yep, yeah, didn't think you heard that one. So we're in this season, when we launched the vision, it was to infinity and beyond. It was Buzz Lightyear. We're going to go after the kingdom to infinity, and then we're going to keep going. And it made sense then, but I can't remember why now. So what I'm saying to you, if this is your church, then it's a correct season. It doesn't matter if you've been in a couple months. It doesn't matter if you're a seasoned veteran. It doesn't matter if you're new to our church, you've been in the church for 7 years. It matters that you're here, you're part of us, and as a church, we're going together. This is our season to get out of church. Get out of church and take the kingdom with you. Matthew 5:66. Matthew, you wrote a book of the Bible. This is my brother Matthew, by the way. You might see him. He's popped over to New Zealand to help us out for a few months, so you'll see a bit of him. Matthew 5:66. Let your light shine, a light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I was just thinking about it. So often, we want to prophesy, but we want to do it in the safety of church. I'm going to prophesy, but just on Sundays between 10:30 and 12:30, and that's when the spirit of prophecy is on me, and then it leaves me again till next Sunday from 10:30 to 12:30, where I'm happy to prophesy on people, and then it leaves me again till the next Sunday, where a spirit of prophecy will come on me, and I'll prophesy over people from 10:30 to 12:30. Oh, there's a prayer meeting this week on Thursday, so the spirit of prophecy will come on me at 7:30 to 9 o'clock, o'clock on a prayer meeting where I'll prophesy again and then it'll leave me. But this is so Christians, isn't it? The same spirit of prophecy that's on you now that you want to give a word to someone is the same spirit that'll be with you when you go to work tomorrow and you see that person that's broken, that's tired or whatever it is. It's the same one. This is a bit different though. The spirit to lay hands on me, that only does come from 10:30 to 12:30 on a Sunday. Unless there is a prayer meeting on a Thursday, then that spirit to lay hands on the sick will come on me again. Nah. The same spirit that you want to go pray for people. It does. It so often. It happens. Let your light shine before men. I'm going to invite someone for lunch on Sunday. Oh, a bit awkward. I don't know. I really like Lorena. I'm just going to invite her because she understands me. And Dave, of course. Otherwise, it's awkward. We don't go to their place. They just come to ours because we have to have a spa. And Dave, you know, and his bikini. And his, yeah. Anyway, I get off track. Of course, Dave doesn't wear a bikini. It's Speedos. Dave wears Speedos. Sorry. This is the funny one. God's done something amazing in you, and I want to share my testimony. The times of testimony are sharing is from, let's say, from 10 o'clock, because you can share it before church, to 1 o'clock, because you can share it after. That's the only time we're allowed to share our testimonies as a Christian, okay? And make sure you only tell another Christian, because they'll understand. And they won't think you're weird. So you share your testimony from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock on a Sunday, and you don't share your testimony again. But I think as Christians, we've got to get these things. We've got to understand it goes 24/7. We share our testimonies so we shine our light before others. The testimony is one of the most powerful things you have. It talks about the goodness of God in your life and my life. And I tell you what, it's good to share with other Christians because sometimes they need to hear it. But man, when you start sharing what God has done with people that don't understand the goodness of God, you can see amazing things happen. So often I'll work in my testimony. I'll drop it in there and I'll start sharing it and then I'll turn it around and because of God. And so they've had to listen to the whole thing thinking, wow, he's amazing. He's got through all these troubles in his life. And I said, and it was because of God. And you leave them that wee seed. Shine your light before men. Get out of church. The kingdom outside of church. I have a question for you. Question. What do all these things have in common? A. Sports teams. B. Boards. C. Businesses. D. Clubs or groups. Neighborhoods, workplaces, schools or churches. They have people. But this. Next slide, please. They all need to be infiltrated with the kingdom of heaven. That's what they all have in common. Let's just infiltrate our church, okay? Yay, kingdom. But God said he's given you the keys of the kingdom over the whole earth. We can infiltrate a board, a school, our workplace, our community, our neighborhood with kingdom. Sound good? Next one, please. It also is your marketplace. It's a place you can get to. Do you know our whole existence of being a Christian? If God just wanted you to get to heaven, as soon as your salvation, he'd leave a couple of evangelists. As soon as you gave your heart to God, zap, you're way to heaven. Yes, I reached another one. That's not God's plan. Yes, he wants salvation. Yes, he wants you to get to heaven. But his plan is, according to the Bible, now I'm going to find some people who believe they can unlock things in their time on earth, that they can make a difference, that they carry something, that they will be the answer to other people's prayers that they haven't even prayed yet. And I believe we as a church are it. I reckon you're it. All those places, they need you. Can I talk about a couple of things we've done well this year? As a church, We've done some things well. I believe we are punching above our weight, like Jacinda said. Christmas in the Park, well, that was last year, but we've got another one coming up, so I'll include it in there. 3,000 people, everything is free, from sausages to bouncy castles to lolly scrambles. How cool is that? That families know that they can go and join in the festive spirit. And this is why we do it, to show them that their church loves the community, that wants to do something for the community. There's so many families out there where money is tight, but they want to experience some fun or do something. And we say, well, have a go on the bouncy castles for free. Have a sausage. But wait, we're going to put on a lolly scramble, all in a colouring competition and balloon animals for free just to bless you. We're just extending the kingdom through an event. How exciting is that? Easter egg hunt. Man, that's gone crazy. It went so crazy, we had people breaking it, teenagers breaking in and stealing all the Easter eggs. What a blessing. The Mayor's Family Fun Day we did at the start of the year. It seems like ages ago, doesn't it? We blessed the community. We got such good feedback from that. That is amazing. I had a guy, Master Soccer, come up and he goes, wow, the ones that were doing the sausages, I think it was Lindsay and Delane, and who else was doing sausages with you at Mayor's Family Fun Day? Eh? I think it might be Jeremy and Beulah and Lindsay and Delane, wasn't it? And they were just talking about, wow, how amazing the people were selling sausages. We're influencing the kingdom. What else did we do well as a church? Working with other churches, we're starting to do that well. But what we did really well was Roar. Because that was us as a church saying, we're understanding this principle of extending the kingdom. So let's invite you in and let's share with you what we've caught. And now let's go on this journey together where we extend the kingdom of God. And we've got some people that have come from, pastors that come from the West Coast, Balclutha, Gore, Matara, who are catching things in their spirit and they're wanting to join in. And we go on this journey together. We're doing that well, church. It's good, eh? And then on Friday night, the bouncy castles of Western. There were so many people. I trained up my apprentice, Samisi. He was awesome. I never let anyone man the big one because, you know, you have to be level 7 or higher in bouncy castle etiquette, but you had a turn. But what that did, it was just freed me up, and I started going around talking to people. And it was amazing the amount of people you've seen, and you just got talking into their lives. It was brilliant. Extending the kingdom. But we can't just rely on the church doing it, because there's places like your work that I can't get into, but you're there and you can get into. Your school I can't get into, but you're already there. Your sports clubs, your neighborhood, you're already there. I remember when we preached this at the start of the year about getting out of the church, getting kingdom out of the church and into the community, that some people started to have dreams and visions. Henio, can I share yours? Henio is now on the school board. And she's doing a fantastic job. She's got good rapport with the teachers and the other board members. And what she's just being her, but she's shining her light in a place where it needs some good values and morals. And can I share how it got on? And because so Henio felt that, yeah, that was to do. And we talked about it and I encouraged her. And I know a few other people said, you'll be great, and which she is. And so she put her name down. And in the polling, she said, I just feel I'm going to get on. You don't mind me sharing this part? It's a really cool story. And so she got third in the polling, and there was only position for two. And I felt like, oh, well, next year we'll wait another year and a half. But what happened is another board member was standing down, and the board were unanimous. Let's get Henio. She's awesome. We need her on the board. And so the staff and the board said, look. And so she missed one board meeting, and now she's in making a difference. She's shining her light. She's taking kingdom outside of the church, and she's putting it in a boring old board meeting where they're talking about governance of a school. But by being there, she's shining her light. Tash joined a home and school. Where's Tash? Behind us? Oh, out the back. She joined home and school at her school. Because she's got gifts and talent. If you don't know Tash, you're in for a surprise. She's awesome. She's more practical than most guys I know. Man, when we were doing up this church, she was bossing all the guys around. My dad was in here, and he's old school, and he was like, yes, Tash, no, Tash. Yes, what would you like now, Tash? She's good on home and school. The biggest surprise is Sonia coached a sports team this year. And And I remember her talking about it, but she started shining a light. And there was a lady who coached her daughter's in there. She coached the years before. But actually, this lady, who happens to be our cousin, said, what an amazing job Sonia did with the girls. Not only was she a good coach, but man, she related to the girls, and all the girls liked her. She shone her light. Luke built a studio in his garage. Now, who does that? A recording studio. Now he's got people coming to him going, hey, can we come and record some music in your garage? Different ways of shining light. Sports teams, schools, being locked up in Luke's basement. You know, just different ways of shining your light. The question is, are you strong enough to influence the world with the love of Jesus and not be influenced by the world? I say, yes, you are. I say, yes, you are. I would say, if you have a problem with drinking, don't try and influence the pub just yet. You know what I mean? God will give you strategies on how to relate to your friends. Going and having five handles is not the strategy God has given you. In fact, yeah, you want to be extending the kingdom, you might be doing something else. We've got to understand, you know, yeah, I'm ready to extend the kingdom. Hang on, what's the kingdom again? And that's what I get, you know. It's like, yeah, okay, cool. I hear what you're saying, Pastor. Now, what is it again? And it's this very simple principle that I touched on at the start. It's understanding that we're not here as Christians to get to heaven. We've got that when we get salvation. You will get to heaven. Congratulations. It's what you do before you get to heaven. From the time you become a Christian, it's getting heaven to earth. Okay, I get that. That's good. I'm going to get heaven. Oh, hang on. What's heaven again, Pastor? Okay, you've got to spend time with God and say, what actually happens in heaven and what's happening on earth? What's happening in the world at the moment that wouldn't be going on in heaven? Okay, God, how do I influence it? Well, just talk to that lonely neighbor. That's a really good start. Love them. Zeke and I were at the supermarket yesterday, and we seen a guy. He was grabbing extra bags, and he had tattoos up his neck and tattoos down his arm. And I was at the checkout as well, and he just went over. He didn't say, can I please borrow some more bags or something. He just went and helped himself. So straight away, my natural, I started judging him. I'm like, oh, what an egg. You know what I mean? You don't think like that. But I'm thinking, why don't he just say, can I please have some more bags or something? And so I'm sitting there going, well, I'll just wait around in case he gets a bit rude and I might have to say something to him. And I'm like, and then the Holy Spirit just goes, what's he doing? For some reason, he was double bagging all his bags because he had to carry them all home. And the Holy Spirit said, don't be a judgmental idiot. Well, that's how he speaks to me sometimes. Ask him if he wants a ride home. But he's got tattoos up his neck, bald head, tattoos down his arm. Hey, bro, do you need a ride home? He looked at me and said, oh, that would be amazing. I said, my car's just out there. Come on. It gets better. Listen to the Holy Spirit, because I judged him at the start. Sorry. I'm a dirty sinner. He went and put his groceries in the car. He pushed his trolley back. He jumped in the car. Do you know what the first thing he said to me after saying his name? He said, you must be a Christian. Yeah. He said, only Christians do something like this. Give a tattooed up bull guy a ride home. And I was just like, wow, God, thank you very much. Because I knew what I was preaching on the next day. I'm like, wow, God, I could have so easily missed this. And God used his word going, you must be a Christian, because Christians do things like this. Do what? Give guys ride home when they've got too many groceries and don't have a car, extending the kingdom. And do you know what was exciting? I said, wow, he's had a ride before by other Christians. We're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it. This guy knew. And so he said, what church are you from? I said, House of Breakthrough. I didn't say I'm a pastor. I hardly ever say I'm a pastor because I want them to get to know me first, and then I drop it in there. I'm the religious one with the collar, and I would, you know, they get to know me first. And it was really cool. But do you know what the cool thing is? We got to his house. I took out all his grocery bags, closed the door. I walked up. I put them there. I got back in the car. And Ezekiel said, that was really nice, Dad. Why did you do that? And God just goes, wow, now you're teaching your son how to extend the kingdom. Cool, eh? I was wondering what Ezekiel's, because I didn't run it past Ezekiel. Do you think we should? I just said this. And I was wondering what Ezekiel's sin is, this tattered up guy sitting in the front seat. But Ezekiel said, wow, why do you do it? So I talked through it. And he was like, wow, that's cool. Extending the kingdom, and it also goes to our families. Cool, eh? So I'm just going to finish with this, and it's just, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to a minute. Just say, God, I hear what has been said today. Where do you want me to extend the kingdom? And God's not just going to do the biggest thing straight away. Oh, I want you to get into local politics. I want you to become the mayor. And you're panicking. Or you might. But he might just say, remember that neighbor you keep going past and you do the, hi. No, stop and talk for 5 minutes and invite them for a coffee. That's extending the kingdom. Okay, and then I tell them my testimony. I lay hands. No, just love them. Your testimony will come in time, at the right time. What else? Oh, God, you know that one at work that no one else sits with? Oh, you mean the smelly one? Yeah, sit with them. About what? I have one of them at my workplace. I didn't say who it was. You all jumped to conclusions. Back on track, people. I'm trying to go somewhere. Focus. Seek first the kingdom. If you're missing something in your life, if there's something you've been crying out to God for, say, God, is the key I'm not seeking first your kingdom? Is there a breakthrough in something and go, wow, God, am I meant to be seeking first your kingdom? Am I meant to be doing things for you first instead of sitting here feeling sorry for me? What is it, God? Where do you want me to be? And some of you, I guarantee God will give you a massive dream. I want you to influence this area. But then he'll turn around and goes, but I want you to start by talking to that relative you haven't in a while. I want you to start by approaching that person in word, because I want to build up in you in character. Yes, we'll take the world, but it starts with our neighbors. So we're just going to take 30 seconds now. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to you, and you're just going to get encouraged and inspired. And he's just going to show you where he wants you to go. It might be today or this week. But this is your time. This is your place to extend the kingdom. Notice when it says, but seek first the kingdom. It's not, but seek first the kingdom when you've been a Christian long enough. It doesn't say that. So if you've been a Christian 1 week or 10 years, you still seek first the kingdom. I'll seek first the kingdom when I just get through this season I'm in, because it's a bit rough at the moment, God. No, you seek first the kingdom through that season. I'll seek first the kingdom when this prayer is answered. I'll be so much better and I'll be so much more productive seeking first the kingdom. And God's going, no, the answer to your prayer may be seeking first the kingdom. Does that make sense? It's scriptural, eh? See, when Jesus died and then he rose again, what did he preach on? Did he preach on forgiveness? Because that'd be a great topic. No, he didn't. The Bible didn't say that. Did he preach on love? Because that'd be a good topic. No, he didn't. Did he preach on salvation? You've got to understand, Jesus come back from the dead. People are really listening to him now. They've seen him crucified. They've seen the spear in his side. They've seen him die on a cross. They might have been a bit, oh, I think he's the Messiah. I don't know if the Messiah. But when someone comes back from the dead, they've got your attention. And he's like, I have your attention now. And the Bible records only one thing that he preached on for 40 days. He preached on things concerning the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. So if Jesus put so much value on it, then we should too. God bless you, church. Have an amazing week if we extend the kingdom as we shine our little lights outside the hours of 12:30 Sunday. Oh, that's scary, eh? Father, I thank you for this amazing church. I thank you that they have talents and abilities and gifts. And Lord, there's no mistake. They are here today to hear this message. And I just thank you, Father, for the ones that are going to put it into practice right now, to take up that challenge just to seek first the kingdom and see that you will add everything else that they need to them. Lord, pray blessing on them and their families and the All Blacks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by House of Breakthrough Oamaru. For more messages like this, please visit our website, hobomaru.co.nz.